and 107.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
We're in the studio today to talk about Breast Cancer Awareness Month and the Richland Hospital, their imaging team. And we have members here today, Director of Mammography, Marcia Jones, and also we have Jessica Shaw here as well. They're both of that department, and glad to have them in here to talk about a very timely and a very important subject. So good morning to you, ladies.
Good morning.
Appreciate you coming in here today to talk about this. Marcia, we'll start with you because you have been the longest tenured here of the two. How long have you been with the Richland Hospital?
Almost 40 years.
40 years, wow.
Yes, mammography was just starting out. We were doing mammography on Xerox paper at one time with blue powder, and you magnetized the plates, and you did the x-rays with the actual x-ray tube, and you had the Xerox paper. I always thought it was a Smurf all the time because I was all this blue powder. But so then it changed, and we've got our first mammography machine, and everything kind of changed. We got a different one, and then it became digital, and then now with our new machine is a 3D digital, so it's a tomosynthesis, so much more detail, and the information is just wonderful. So
much more accurate, I'm sure, now too, isn't
it? Yes, it's much better for our patients with dense breast.
Right. Yeah, I can't imagine that going back to the Xerox or whatever that was.
Yeah, that's completely gone.
Back then. Man, that is something. You're here just to kind of get the point across about how important early detection is, correct?
Yes, it is. Early detection saves lives. You want to get, you know, screened early after 40. If you have a, you know, high risk parent, a mother, say the mother was, you know, 40 at her onset of breast cancer, they would screen that lady at 30, 10 years sooner.
Okay.
So earlier is better for them.
Jessica, at what age should women start to think about getting a mammography?
So the best number is to say 40. It kind of can go, you hear different things, different organizations say different things. Best number we suggest is 40. But like Marcia said, there's different reason to start earlier. It's always important, though, to get that baseline. So there's a lot of people that just, you know, don't really want to do it, which we understand, but having that baseline so that as you age, they know how things are changing as you're aging.
I think it's like a lot of things. We put it off thinking, you know, maybe next year or whatever. It's not something that you always look forward to every year.
Yeah, no, it's not anyone's favorite thing, but they are quick. You know, in and out in 15 minutes, typically. They're not as bad as they get the reputation of. You know, we can speak for our department, but we have 4 great mammo techs that all do a very good job. So,
who are the other mammo techs?
We have Shalise and we have Wendy. They also do mammos with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
You offer 2D and 3D imaging. Could you talk about that and the difference?
Yeah, so 3D is the tomo that Marcia was talking about, which we do on all patients. We do have the ability and at times do a 2D image. The 3D is more detailed due to it's taking multiple pictures, and we kind of describe it as a loaf of bread. So when you look at a loaf of bread from top to bottom, you can, you know, it's straight across. You know, there's not, you can see the air pockets in here and there. But when you pull out a piece, you can see, oh, this one actually has a hole in it. You know, how it looks different. So they kind of can roll through the images to see within your breast a little bit deeper so that if there's an area that's would normally be covered up just top to bottom, they can kind of see that. So we do both, but it's usually together. So we'll do a 3D, and if we need an extra picture, we'll just do a 2D image in addition to the 3D.
Patients have a choice then?
They do. They don't have to do 3D. I don't think that happens very often. There are patients that may not be physically able to do a 3D just because of some of the angles. But I don't think I've had anyone ask for a 2D only because insurance covers 3D. So why not? Mm-hmm. You know, really, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't, other than 3D is better. So
the exam is still the same, basically.
For the most part, yeah. Really. I mean, there's some angles of the tubes that sometimes variables on body habitus, you know, with shoulders depending, can get in the way. But we typically would, most people, we can still do it on.
The ability to hold still is the big part with 3D. If you got a patient that maybe has MS or has a tremor, sometimes those patients are a little bit harder to get to hold still for that, you know, the 3D mammogram. So sometimes we'll do a 2D image on them just because it's, you know, you can get a better image and you don't have to worry about the patient moving and the tube moving at the same time.
What is the average wait time, Marcia, if someone's going for an exam?
To be scheduled, or
The average wait time, you know, is for a screening. Like, if you go there, do you hear the results then that day, or does it, you get a call later on, or how does that work?
Our images go to UW, One South Park, and they read them. The radiologists read them, and then the report will come back into, you know, our computer. We send a patient a density letter in the mail in about 5 to 6 days. This result. You know, the result goes to their doctor right away, so they would get the results from their doctor. And it also goes into the patient portal.
I see. How much is preventative? And you talk about, you know, hereditary for breast cancer, possible breast cancer. Are there some things that you can do in terms of diet and those kind of things, Jessica?
No. Not really. I would say, you know, diet's important in general, you know, that you're more healthy, but there's not that I am aware of anything that's like you need to stay away from to help with that. You know, just like anything, being healthy is beneficial, but it doesn't make or break anything.
So weight doesn't have anything to do with the... you know, the likelihood or, you know, the possibility, a higher percentage?
No.
Okay.
No, not that I am aware of. I mean, I haven't heard of any studies that are basing that on that.
You both are wearing pink, and we see that all the time. You know, I make the rounds for volleyball matches, and a lot of these teams are having Digging for a Cure or pink nights, but pink is the color for breast cancer, correct?
Correct.
And you're wearing some nice shirts here today.
Thank you. Yes, and they got the Richland Hospital.
Richland Hospital, the shirts there. So, and that's a nationwide thing, right?
Yeah. Yes, even with the NFL teams, you'll see the pink shoes and the, you know, different colors and stuff now for, you know, they always have their pink night and stuff out there. So
proud to wear pink.
Yes, yeah. A lot of them, you know, the football players, their, you know, grandmas and their mothers had breast cancer, so they all wear it in support of them.
Mm-hmm. And there are, yeah, lots of fundraisers and, you know, nationwide, like, you know, a lot of walks and things going on, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, any cancer, everyone's been affected some way, shape, or form. But I think breast cancer, you know, is just, it's, I think, been looked on a lot longer than some of the other ones, and they've kind of taken and ran with the pink, and everyone knows someone one way or another that has been affected with breast cancer.
Yeah, most definitely. And but I think in terms of the cancer, the colors that you wear, I think pink might be the one that people know the best,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, right. For sure.
Yeah, because of its visibility and whatnot. So as far as Breast Cancer Awareness Month, is the Richland Hospital doing anything special? Do you have anything, any ties with that to go along with that and information?
Our patients, when they come in, you know, we do have a few handouts to give them and shower cards, and we do have, you know, a plantable seed pack to give them in a bag for breast cancer awareness. But we, you know, we just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do our best to make it known, and we like to thank people, too, for coming, just because it is important, and I think sometimes it gets a little bit side bound, just like, you know, there's all these screening things you got to do for everything, and this is our world, so we make sure to thank them, especially in October, for coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly you encourage that at any time, you know, any time of year, but especially in October, that's for sure. I know the hospital's doing some other fun things here. You know, you've got celebrating 100 years. Were you guys involved in the walk that they did in September? Did you get involved in that?
I was working that weekend.
Oh, you had to work that day.
I heard a lot about people participating, so it sounded like it was a good turnout.
Yeah, I wasn't able to make it either. I was signed up, but then found out I needed to be somewhere else for my kids. So we didn't make it, but it looked like a really good time.
I heard it was a good time. It looked awesome. Good turnout for that, celebrating 100 years. But there's a free movie night coming up. So
yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Make your plans now. And that's, in fact, this Saturday, gates open at 5:30. The movie starts at dusk at Starlight 14 Drive-In. That's free, right? Everybody? You don't have to be involved with the hospital or work for the hospital or anything.
Nope, it's a community event. Come on out and take the kids out to the movie and have fun.
Hope a lot of people will certainly do that. A couple of other things about breast cancer screening. We were going to talk a little bit about diagnostic and some of those things and, you know, in those terms. So, Jessica, maybe you could talk about that.
Yeah, so we've been doing diagnostic for 3 years, which has been amazing for the community. There's a couple different ways you can be coming for diagnostic. One, if you come for a screening and you are called back. So there's an area of concern on one or both breasts that they want further evaluated. They'll call them back and we'll do some diagnostic imaging, usually an ultrasound to follow. Or if you find a lump or are having like a pinpointed pain or something just isn't right, we need to do some extra imaging. It's called diagnostic. And we do those on Fridays when we have a breast radiologist. So everything we do is dictated off of what the radiologist wants us to do. So we could go through everything that we do. They may see another area or want further images. So it's really nice to... We do what we need to do, and when we're done, the patient knows if they need a biopsy or they need a follow-up or everything's good and it's just some overlapping breast tissue. So it's been great that we've been able to do that for the community. It saves a lot of extra travel and a lot of cuts down on nerves, too.
Yeah, it has to be. To have the radiologist there once a week, Marcia, that's got to be a godsend, isn't it?
It's wonderful because you can run all the pictures past them. They decide if we need anything else. They need an ultrasound. They can do the ultrasound. Patients get the results while they're there. So they like that. And so everything's right up front. And it just takes care of that anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Many times, I'm sure, it's just precautionary, right, Jessica?
Yeah, a lot of times it isn't cancer. You know, you have those spurts where it seems like there's more, and then like they can be cysts, they can be breast tissue, they can not for sure what it is, you know, and that's where I was talking before about having your screenings and having a baseline and to know what's normal. Because if they see an area that wasn't there 5 years ago, but you've had mammos consistently, they can say, okay, that area has been progressing and now it looks bigger. I kind of saw it there. I do think we need to follow that up, biopsy it, or do follow-ups. So they all kind of run together and work together to find out the end game.
Could there be a cancer present, Marcia, without a lump?
Yes. I mean, you can have a cancer that you don't feel anything, but we come in and we do a mammogram and maybe we find something. That happens. I mean, it's just the way the tissue is. You know, you've got fatty tissue, you've got glandular tissue, you've got dense tissue. So sometimes, you know, it's just...
Yeah, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And other times, certainly, it's more
and you can
prevalent.
Feel something, but... We can't find it. And
right.
Why is that? Well, sometimes, you know, it's just based on that. And sometimes they'll do an ultrasound. Sometimes a patient will have, don't see it on mammo, but we see it on an ultrasound. There could be a cyst there. So it's just that's why you use both tools together.
Mm-hmm. Then the cyst can be removed then? at that time, if need be?
Aspirated.
Or do they just go away?
Or they can, it can go away, or, you know, they may do a six-month follow-up, or they have them come back, and we do some more imaging on it and just make sure everything is staying stable.
Mm-hmm. Important that we get the screening done and make that appointment. How far out, you know, are appointments being made right now?
As long as we have an order, we can get things in. I don't think we're pushed out too far at this point. We're not overbooked. I would say within a month, you could get in, no problem. You know, depending on schedules and all of, you know, everyone's schedule to put it together. But, yeah, as long as we do need a doctor's order in order to do them. But then, yeah, once we have that, we can usually work things pretty quickly.
Are there some taboos about breast cancer, like some things that maybe aren't true that are out there? I mean, a lot of times if you go online, you're going to see things that are going to scare you. And
well, people's friends sometimes don't help very well. They say, oh, you're going to be bruised, or it's just the worst exam I've ever had. It's so painful. And we always say it's uncomfortable, but it shouldn't, you know, it for a few seconds of discomfort, I mean, it's worth it. You know, we don't try to hurt anybody. That's not the plan. But some people think that you're going to get injured or bruised or.
Mm-hmm. Not true. Anything, Jessica, you'd like to add?
No. Like I kind of was saying before, we all do great at, you know, feeling the person out, and we work together. It's not just us against them. If something doesn't feel right, we just need to know about it so that we can try to make it better.
We're doing this test together, not too.
Mm-hmm. It's not as bad as most people. But again, you're not going around talking about how great it was.
Right.
You know, you're going around saying, that wasn't pleasant. So, you know, that's just the.
And some people come in and say, well, that's all there is. Well, that was easy. That was easier than doing a, you know, colonoscopy or something. I said, yeah. So it's, you know, then they compare it to other tests. It is a quite easy, you know, exam, and the information you get is well worth it. So.
Yeah, I can imagine that, but it's like a lot of things. I think if the first time you go in, it probably eases your mind a little bit, doesn't it, Jessica?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's, you know, a conversation that you can usually tell, you know, when it's someone's first time and they're a little nervous. And usually at the end, it's like, that wasn't as bad as you were thinking, right? You know, like seriously. And usually they say, no, that wasn't as bad. And, you know, you have those few that, you know, it doesn't matter. And they're just, it's going to not be comfortable or happy. But I'd say it's usually not as bad as people are anticipating.
Pretty good about it, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So it should be a yearly plan then, or?
That is up to your provider. Some providers like to do them yearly. They know your family history better than we do. So we do not make recommendations that way. We leave that up to their physician, whether they should have their mammograms every 2 years or every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know if it was a part of the yearly health checkup that we should all have anyway then. But I guess to each their own then. From that standpoint,
the providers decide how they want to do their screenings.
We talked about at what age women should start. Do you continue those, you know, into the elderly years and things like that as well?
Well, that's an interesting point. Everybody says, "Well, I'm 70 now. I can quit, right?" And I said, "Well, I guess we always, you know, you look at your age and so you're pretty healthy. You're able to do everything real well. And I guess if we were to do a mammogram and you were to find something, would you treat it? And if you're going to say yes, then you continue to do your screening because your chance of breast cancer does go up as you get older."
Mm-hmm. And again, early detection is the main thing for any cancer, but I think maybe especially for breast cancer, isn't it, Jessica?
Yeah, I'd say so, especially since we have the screening tools. You know, there's a lot of cancers that there isn't screening tools, and and that's extra scary about a lot of them, where this one we can. We can screen it. We can kind of keep up on things. So let's do what we can to maybe take that out of the list of all the scary stuff we got to deal with.
Well said. So talk to your provider first, your main physician?
Yeah, so we do have to have an order in order to do this. So, yeah, a lot of times it's from a physical You know, you go for your physical, they'll put in an order, and then we can go ahead and do that. It just needs to be more than a year for most insurances, which we try to keep track of also. But yeah, we do need the patient to talk to their doctor to get an order.
Yep. That's a good point, too. Insurances, most insurances cover this then, Marcia?
Yes, they do. It's just a matter of, like Jessica said, you know, when we have insurances, you know, you need to be, you know, 11 months for Medicare. There are certain boundaries for that. So you just need to make sure we are out far enough that your mammogram is going to be covered, you know, in a timely manner.
The Richland Hospital is hosting a blood drive today. We wanted to put in a plug for that as well, correct?
Yep.
You both are giving blood today, or you're probably working?
Planning on it.
Oh, you're planning on it. Well, that's good. So it goes on from 10 to 3 at the Richland Hospital and Clinics. Pippin Hall, appointments encouraged, but certainly walk-ins are always welcome as well. smurthy@impactlife.org is where you go for that to sign up for the blood drive at the Richland Hospital. Well, you two have been great guests. Anything else you'd like to add today?
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us this morning. We appreciate that.
We appreciate you coming in here. Very timely topic, Breast Cancer Awareness Month this time. And stop by the Richland Hospital for more information again on this or any subject that we have on the morning show. We're going to have some more topics coming up from the Richland Hospital as well to benefit our area. Thanks for joining us. We'll have more coming up in a moment. Welcome back to our morning show on WRCO. We're talking about another timely topic. We're up to talk about Bev's Walk. Passages putting on this, and it's coming up next week, actually Tuesday, October 22nd will be when that's happening. And we're here with the president of the board for Passages, Chris Simonson, and also program manager, Jessica Brown. I think we kind of alluded to this the last time you were on, Chris, but here we are.
We did. When Shannon and I were on together, I don't know, a month and a half ago, we knew Bev's Walk was coming up, but we hadn't cemented a date yet, so we weren't quite sure when it was going to be. We had a couple dates in mind, but this has been set up now for a while. Yeah, it's coming up, as you said, a week from Tuesday, October 22nd, from 5 until 7:30, and it will be happening at the Crosscut Park here in town. Those of you familiar with the Kiwanis Lights, that festival that they do, you know, the drive-through thing, it will be in the same area of the park.
So Bev's Walk, named after Bev Burns?
Named after Bev Burns. Bev was such an important part of Passages for so many years as an advocate for those in need, especially as a legal advocate working with people when they had court dates, whether it was for a restraining order or whatever. Bev knew what was happening legally for them and would advocate for them and let them know, okay, here is what you are allowed to do under the law, and these are the type of things that we should be requesting of the judge and those sort of things. So Bev was more than an advocate to the people who were most in need, and she was just, again, as I say, such a significant part of Passages for over 20 years.
It'd be interesting to trace her legacy and the number of people that she helped over the years, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would be, because the numbers would be in the hundreds, I'm certain, if you were to include, you know, the children that were impacted as well. But yeah, Bev was just a fantastic and dynamic force for those in greatest need at Passages.
I think this is important to get that out, but also get the word out about Passages once again, and keep that in the thoughts for people in the area, right, Chris?
I think you're right. I think COVID affected so many different things within our community, and I think Passages is one of those programs that, again, was adversely affected as a result of some of the things from COVID. There were times when the shelter actually needed to close because all the workers had tested positive or were infected, and so we couldn't really serve them to the to the way they needed to be served. And it was to the point a while back where we would even hear people say in public, oh, Passages is still here, which is frightening. So that shows us that we have work to do in making sure that everybody in our communities is aware that this vital program still exists for those in need.
I think that's why this walk is going to be really important as you look at this, Jessica.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely important for us to get back in the community, let them know that we are still here, but also remembering Bev and what great work she did for our agency.
As Chris mentioned, I heard that rumor a few times, like, oh, Passages is closed or whatever, but that couldn't be further from the truth.
No, we are open and helping victims and survivors every day. We're here to support the community. We have great work going on right now in our Crawford County. We have an amazing advocate there. She is doing great work, and hopefully we are going to be picking back up in the other two counties that we serve.
So what is the area that is served by Passages and some of those outlying areas as well?
So we serve Richland, Crawford, and Vernon County. Those are the three counties that we serve.
Okay. And unfortunately, there is a need.
Yes, unfortunately, there is a need, and we're here to support. So.
And you've stayed pretty busy, it sounds like.
Yes, we are.
People are, you know, this is a benefit, but can people donate year-round as far as monetary gifts and food and those kind of things?
Yep, we're always accepting donations. A lot of times, a lot of paper products is a big one for us, hygiene products. The holidays are getting ready to come up, so having those items available for kids as far as those Christmas gifts and things like that are important as well, so they have something for Christmas morning and things too.
How is the best way to do that, to drop off items at Passages?
Yes. So the best way to drop items off would be at our business office. It's located at 1001 Parkview Drive here in Richland County. It's the Ada James apartment place. That's where our business offices are. You can also give us a call if it's a large donation and you're not quite sure if we'll take it. You can give us a call at the business office and then we can direct you where to take it.
I know there are a lot of sad stories, but I think there are a lot of real positive things that you've experienced during your time as director, correct?
Yep. Program manager. Yep. Apologize. Always helping. It's great for us to have the apartment place that we have as well, so that people that come into our emergency shelter can typically transition into transitional housing. And we're able to help them get back on their feet and be able to go be successful like they want to be.
How many apartments do you have there at the facility? Any idea?
18, I believe it is.
18. Wow. Okay. And then in terms of getting them back on their feet, you do some things. You take maybe the next stride to help them find a living place in the area then?
Yep. So after that, we're really trying to work on updating the program a little bit, too, with the apartments. Currently, so they have transitional housing with us 1 to 2 years. And typically, after that, we'd like to try to help them move on to more permanent housing in the community, whether that's buying a home or different things like that. So we're really trying to help support them more to be able to move on to permanent housing after that transitional phase.
I'm guessing it's important to be writing grants. Do you do that continually as well?
I do not. Shannon, our director, she is the grant writer for us. It's actually grant season for her currently. So she is working hard on finding the right grants for us.
I was going to say that's a busy time trying to get that because it's got to be important for your operational expenses, isn't it?
It is important. So we just did have some huge budget cuts through the VOCA grant funding. So with that, we are looking for additional grants and things to make sure that our program continues to where we want it to be.
Are there similar situations Passages? You mentioned the counties that you serve, but around the state, are there some organizations that are similar to Passages?
Yes.
So each community has their own.
Typically, each community does. But after the VOCA funding, some organizations did have to close their doors and things like that due to budgeting. We were fortunate enough that we just took a significant loss. But we're hopeful that things will continue
How long have you been with Passages?
A little over 2 years now.
Okay. So you came on post-COVID, but still, you know, I'm guessing you were feeling some of the effects at that time as
well. Yep. I came on post-COVID, worked a year with Beverly, and then, so some of the effects are the lack of volunteers that we currently have now. So always looking for volunteers, people that want to step in and help, whether it's helping transport clients or whether it's helping with donations and different things like that.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
For 25 years, extreme left-wing groups have showered her with campaign cash, and now she's siding with them. Baldwin supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. That's extreme. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. That's just cruel. Tammy Baldwin used to share our values, but a quarter century in Washington has made her just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
With America's favorite coffee, innovative beverage strategies, and mouth-watering snacks, Dunkin' is the brand everyone knows nationally and loves locally. Introducing Dunkin' Rewards. The free sips start here. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Join Dunkin' Rewards to unlock exclusive benefits, starting with a free medium drink with purchase your first week as a member. Bring home the top name in coffee and beverages. Number one in customer loyalty for over 15 consecutive years. Richland Center runs on Dunkin'.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time today is sponsored by Commuter Connections Y-Connect Wireless, bringing high-speed internet to rural communities. And by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies caring for you and about you. And by BL Signs, watch your businesses grow. Coming up today, it looks like a beautiful day, unusually warm for October, a high of 82 degrees. In fact, the record high for this day is 84. That goes all the way back to 1928. So it will be some rare air today for October. Partly cloudy tonight and 46, 65 for tomorrow. It is 39 degrees.
Wherever you are in southwest Wisconsin, you're always close to someone who has trusted BL Signs. The van you're meeting with a great rap, the business sign that makes you feel welcome before you even get out of the car, or the restaurant sign that makes you hungry the moment you see it. BL Signs is the trusted source for projects done well, done on time, and done on budget. The best start for any signage project is BL Signs of Richland Center. Online at blsignage.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Many office jobs are no longer going to be in an office. That's the assessment from UW-Madison business professor Yiris Muras, who says work-from-home jobs will remain part of the economy long past the pandemic. That's because many businesses took the chance during COVID to get rid of office buildings to cut overhead. Muras says studies over the last several years have largely dispelled the idea that workers need to be in a physical office to be productive. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz will be back in Wisconsin next week as the presidential campaign moves into its final weeks. The Democratic vice president candidate will stop in Eau Claire and Green Bay on Monday. This is Walz's sixth stop in the state since becoming the VP nominee. Walz will deliver a speech in Green Bay and take part in a campaign event in Eau Claire. There are just over 3 weeks until Election Day. Governor Tony Evers has appointed Craig Rukoff as Grant County Sheriff. The appointment fills a vacancy created by Sheriff Nate Dreckman's resignation. Rukoff will complete the remainder of the unexpired term that ends January of 2027. Rukoff is currently the jail administrator for the Grant County Sheriff's Office. Previously, he served as a jailer, deputy sheriff, detective, patrol sergeant, and detective sergeant for the Grant County Sheriff's Office, dedicating his entire entire law enforcement career to Grant County. Rukoff currently resides in Lancaster with his family. He earned an associate degree in police science technology from Western Technical College in La Crosse and is a graduate of the Wisconsin Law Enforcement Command College. The 102nd Ithaca School Fair and Homecoming will be held tomorrow. Students and residents alike are able to show off their entries. Melissa Sprecher is the Agriculture Education Instructor and FFA Advisor at the Ithaca School District.
There's a few places where only the juniors, we call it the junior show, which is kids that go to school there. So 4K through high school. And that's the livestock is basically, we just have those entries. But for all the things in the gym, so everything from cooking, canning, scrapbooking, sewing, Legos, woodworking, vegetables, you know, farm crops, all of that is open to our area too. So the people who have graduated or people from the area can enter. And we encourage that. We love to have that gym just full of things.
Non-animal exhibits may be dropped off in the gym today from 2 until 7. Those planning to show livestock should be in place by the old basketball court at 7:30 Saturday morning. The Ithaca Volleyball Boosters alumni volleyball game will also be held tonight in the community gym starting at 5. This year's homecoming court features representatives from all high school grades. Senior FFA member Bailey Wineless serves as president of the Ithaca FFA.
The freshmen are Peyton Brown and Autumn McBain. The sophomores are Caden Keller and Brinley Wanless. The juniors are Devin Iam and Brooklyn Dickey. And then the senior guys are Sammy Clary, Wesley Nelson, Wyatt Hilby, and Mac Neef. And then the girls are Holly King, Tristan Peterson, Alyssa Muller, and then me.
The homecoming parade will step off Saturday morning at 10:30. The homecoming football game will kick off at 1:30. Everyone is invited to attend and spend the day. Food and refreshments will be available for purchase throughout the day on the grounds. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is proposing over $200,000 in fines for a Janesville business accused of repeated safety violations. OSHA says Universal Recycling Technologies was cited in April of 2023 for exposing employees to unsafe levels of lead and other organisms as they will be dismantling tubes from older TVs, which is a hazard. A follow-up inspection in April of 2024 found the company continuing to expose workers to unsafe levels of toxic heavy metals. Universal Recycling Technologies has 15 days to either comply, request an informal conference with OSHA's area director, or contest the findings before the Independent Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission. The United States Agriculture Department is making a $93 million investment in rural Wisconsin. Rural Development State Director Julia Lassa says $1.3 million going to the Rural Energy for America program, which will help 21 solar, wind, or geothermal, or small-scale hydropower projects. The other $91 million is going to solar array projects in La Crosse and Dane counties. And the final four for the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin Award have been announced. The final four products are John Deere's X739 Riding Mower, Jolly Good Soda, Vulture Systems Revo Ice Fishing Sensor, and Metalcraft Mint Military Medals and Insignia. An estimated 128,000 votes have been cast so far. You can vote for your choice at madeinwis.com once daily through noon on October 17th.
It's internet for everyone from Why Connect Wireless. Why Connect Wireless provides high-speed internet to rural communities throughout southwest Wisconsin with options for unlimited internet with no contract required so you can stream all your favorites. Catch the local broadcast with a professionally installed TV antenna. Call 524-1579 today and ask how to save with bundle packages or visit WIWC.net for details. Why Connect Wireless.
Today's forecast calls for a high of 82. A bit breezy, too. Southwest wind 7 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 46. 65 tomorrow, a slight chance of a light shower in the afternoon. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 40. And Sunday, mostly cloudy and cool with a slight chance of a shower and a high near 60. Right now in Richland Center, following yesterday's high of 74, our temp has dipped from 45 at midnight to the current reading, the overnight low, 39 degrees.
Reducing the risk of illness is easy with a visit to Center Pharmacy or Boscobel Pharmacy. Center and Boscobel Pharmacy are your vaccination headquarters for the flu, pneumonia, and shingles. No appointment needed. The helpful staff will have you in and out in no time, often at no charge with qualifying insurance or Medicare. Don't wait. Get protected today at Center Pharmacy on Orange Street or Boscobel Pharmacy in downtown Boscobel. The Shingrix vaccine is in stock, proven to be 90% effective for the prevention of shingles.
Hi, let me tell you a story about a 10-year-old boy growing up in a small town. His parents were divorced, and the boy lived with his mom, who worked hard to provide. Each day, the boy walked home from school, dropped his books off, then headed next door to help his neighbor in the garden. There, the boy listened as his neighbor told tales of honor and bravery in World War II. It was in that garden where the boy's dreams took root, dreams of serving his country and farming the land. I'm Tony Kurtz, and that boy was me. I went on to serve 20 years in the U.S. Army and establish my own farm. Today, I'm honored to represent my neighbors in the legislature. I want everyone to be able to pursue the American dream, but I know that dreams don't start in a big building with marble columns. They start in our neighborhoods. That's why I've worked hard to push money out of Madison and back to our communities. I've secured larger investments in roads, schools, and hospitals while cutting taxes and maintaining a balanced budget. On November 5th, I ask for your vote so that we can achieve even more.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a three-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical five-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
Sports Time is sponsored by Mr. G's Downtown Viroqua and in the Richland Square Shopping Center, your local source for clothes, boots, shoes, and for everything in style you need for work and play. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A look back at high school sports from last night and the football preview as well is next. Looking for the best in shoes and clothing? Look no further than Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing in Richland Center. Mr. G's has it all, from stylish outfits to durable work boots. Whatever you need, Mr. G's has you covered. Visit them today at 140 Richland Square or give them a call at 647-3543. Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing, where quality meets style.
Choose Mr. G's.
Last night in high school sports, the Richland Center soccer team won 6-1 over Prairie du Chien River Ridge Seneca. The Hornets scored three goals in a span of just over 3 minutes in the first half on the way to avenging a loss to the Blackhawks earlier in the season. Pietro Matucci scored the first goal for Richland Center at 29 minutes. Just over a minute later, Ronaldo Hernandez hit the net using an assist from Garrison Weiss, who also assisted the third goal at 30-25 when Giovanni Cerna scored. The Hornets went up 4-0 just before halftime when Cerna scored again. Winning keeper Grayson Banker was stellar in the net for Richland Center, and two more goals were scored. Pietro Matucci scored off an assist from Hernandez in the second half. Also, Hernandez helped Mason Jelinek for the final goal of the night. 6-1 the final. Richland Center prepares for a game against Reedsburg on Monday. In eight-player football last night, Highland 46, DeSoto 6. High school volleyball, it was DeSoto over Weston, 3-0. Darlington swept Riverdale. It was Royal 3-2 over Brookwood. Waniwak Center beat Royal 3-2 as well. And Bangor 3-1 against New Lisbon. Richland Center is on the road tonight for high school football. Here's Coach Andy Troxell.
Dodgeville has historically played us really hard and really tough. You know, and so that's been the narrative this week with the boys, is that we can't come in overconfident. You know, they've got some big playmakers. I know their season isn't probably as well going as well as what they would like, but they're not going to back down. I mean, they've looked at us as a potential win in the past, and sometimes it's gone their way. So we've just got to stay focused and play our type of ball game.
Well, the game tonight on FM 100.9 and WRCO.com. Platteville plays at River Valley. The Blackhawks are trying to bounce back after a tough loss to Richland Center. Here is co-head coach Dan Makovic.
Plenty of opportunities to win and plenty of opportunities to capitalize on mistakes and errors in Richland Center. As I told you in the pregame stuff of last week, is they're always in the game and they're going to continually be there, and they never gave up and they made the plays that they needed to make, and we just fell a little short. It was a great game all the way through, and that's what we're taking away from. It's like, hey, we have things to clean up, you know, but it was a good game and it's time to move on. We got to focus on winning the next two to try to make the playoffs.
Lancaster at Broadhead Judah, New Glarus at Prairie du Chien tonight as well. In the Six Rivers, Riverdale's at Blackhawk Warren. Here is their coach, Lucas Phelps.
The thing this week that our focus is to compete. We got to find a way to win the play, you know, offensively, find positive yards in every play. We cannot take negative yards. Defensively, we got to be a Simon Sound. We got to rally at the point of attack, find ways to get turnovers. And that's one thing our defense has done a great job this year, is we are in the positive turnover margin on the year. We've done a great job taking care of the ball, and we've done a pretty good job taking the ball away. So against this team, we got to find ways to not hurt ourselves, and we got to be physical and get ready for them coming after us.
Bosque Bells at Iowa Grant, River Ridge at Waseca Steuben as well, New Lisbon at Bangor, Royal at Nisida, Cashton at Hillsboro in the Scenic Bluffs, Fenimore at Belleville, and Darlington at Cuba City in the SWAL among the games. North Crawford is at Kickapoo LaFarge, and Waniwak Weston hosts Homecoming at Weston this evening at 7 against Wisconsin Heights. Tomorrow, Brookwood is at Ithaca, and Potosi Cassville plays at Pecatonica Argyle. Arizona players and coaches say some of the same things. They need explosive plays if they're going to beat the Packers. The Packers come in with a 3-2 record and an offense that still has work to do. Arizona's defense is vulnerable. Its offense produced big plays and back-to-back upsets on the road recently as well. Also in football news, something for the Badgers that could be different. They are 2.5-point underdogs in Saturday's game at Rutgers. Wisconsin has never lost to the Scarlet Knights in five meetings. The Bucks have dropped their second preseason game, this time to the Lakers, by a score of 107-102. Bobby Portis scored 23, but nobody on the roster played 20 minutes. Cleveland over Detroit, 5-4. Yankees 3, Kansas City 1 in the American League playoffs. And last night in football, San Francisco 36-24 over Seattle. And the WNBA playoffs saw Minnesota 1 in overtime over New York, 95-93. With sports, I'm Phil Nee.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs.
So if you're going to volunteer, it could be like just a little, just a few hours, or it could be...
Yep, it could be just a few hours. We are working on setting up kind of a volunteer training. A date for that is to come so that they can come and get information on what it is to volunteer at Passages and how you can support us. It's not always client relationships, you know. It's sometimes just helping go through donations and helping with other small things that we need to.
Are you staffed 24/7 then?
Yes, we are at shelter.
So somebody always has to be there.
Somebody always has to be there, yep. And somebody's always answering the crisis line as well.
So. Okay. And so volunteers are needed for that at nights and weekends and things like that as well?
We're working on that, yep.
With the proper training, as Jessica said, yeah, once we get the training, that sort of thing can be done, yes. But, yeah, volunteering can be... As she said, if we get somebody who has left, you know, some clothes, just going through and washing and sorting and putting them away, it can be pulling weeds. It can be doing some painting of a fence outside or any number of things. So, yeah, we have made the decision that we need to reach out to the community and take advantage of the people and the groups that want to volunteer their time, because there are a number of them that have reached out and said, hey, part of what X industry does is we need to volunteer in the community. And so we're looking for places. Would you be interested?
Does Passages team with other entities like for counseling and things like that as well, Chris?
They don't team with other organizations for counseling, but they certainly communicate back and forth as professionals saying, hey, this is what's happening with us, and we're not sure if what we're doing is working to the extent that we would like it to. How do you handle this situation or this when it comes up? So there's certainly those kind of relationships, you know, just like when I was teaching, I would call, you know, Randy Minen or Jeff Behrens or Mary Beth or something and say, hey, I'm doing this piece. It says do this. How have you done that in the past? You know, these professionals are doing the same thing with people in their area of expertise.
The key is to try and get people back on their feet, Jessica. And sadly, sometimes, you know, an abuse situation, they'll go back to it. I mean, that's kind of the sad fact of life, isn't it?
Yeah. So that does happen. But also, too, it's our job as advocates to make sure that we have those safety plans in place, right? We're here for no judgment. We're here just to support you. And if that's your decision, it's kind of our job to make sure that we have that safety plan in place and that you have the resources that you need once you get back if you decide to leave again.
So if someone is at Passages or whatever, I mean, there's not an automatic restraining order, so to speak, right? Or how does that work?
No, typically, a lot of times, once you get to the emergency shelter, we help you with that. A lot of times, they want to do a restraining order right away. A lot of times, we don't recommend that right away because you are in a safe location. And knowing that you're in a safe location, once you submit that restraining order, sometimes it kind of gives up your address and your location, right, and what county you are in, because we are serving a lot of people outside of Richland County that are coming from other counties.
Chris, did you have something that you wanted to add?
Arms are flailing.
And swatting a fly.
We've got a fly here that's wanting to be interviewed.
You're multitasking today.
Yes.
Well, that leads us toward Bev's Walk. And let's talk a little bit about the specifics of this. Maybe, Jessica, you could give us a little bit of the where and when.
Okay, yep. So Chris already mentioned it's going to be on October 22nd. We are going to have food vendors there. We will have Utter Brothers Creamery from Boscobel area. They will be serving ice cream and cheese curds, from what I've been told. We'll have TKO Barbecue, and then we'll also have Monster Cookies from Christy Sunnyside. That was one of Bev's favorite cookies, favorite place for her to stop and have lunch during her work hours. So we're going to have those presented for everybody as well.
You're going to have various things going on. Music, live music as well. How cool is that?
Yeah, so we're going to have the Pink Whiskey Band. They're based out of Prairie du Chien. Our Crawford County advocate helped support find this band in the area. They are donating their time for us to come play. And we'll also have face painting for the kids as well. I have a few ladies that have volunteered their time to come and do the face painting. So it'll be a great event.
How far is the walk then?
We're just doing the rotary light pathway, so I'm not quite sure on the miles there.
Okay.
Yeah, just that loop. And added to that loop for the walk, those of you who have been there, you know that there's some things that were set up by the Brewer Library to put pages from books there, so you know you can read stories as you walk through that, and they would change them every so often. We have survivors' stories that are going to be placed along that walk for people to read.
That's awesome. So people can read that. Do we have the actual survivors there that night as well, Jessica?
So really just want to, kind of why we're on the radio today, is put the request out. If there's anybody that Bev has helped or that Passages has support, or if you're just a survivor and you'd like to share your story for that story walk, that you can email those to me, and then I can make sure they get shared in the post as well. We have a few already, but I need at least 20 stories to kind of fill the post. So those could be emailed to me at jessica@passagesrc.org, and the cutoff for that would be October 18th.
Okay. And then you're going to print those and post them? Is that how that works?
Yep. So then we'll print them, and then the library, they will put those in the story walk post, and then it'll be there for the day of the walk.
Oh, that's great. How long will they stay up there? Will it just be that for that time?
Yep, just for that day. So I do want to give a thank you to the Brewer Library and to Stacey for help and support on this.
You'll have some guest speakers. Anybody that comes to mind that will be there talking that night?
We're working on that, still compiling those. Possibly some of Bev's family will speak. We're still kind of working on that. If not, then us as staff will be reading a few of the survivor stories as well.
Well, you got the opportunity to work with Bev. Any stories or anything that you think of when we bring her name up?
She was just always grateful. She was always grateful. Every morning she came in, always asked how she was, and she was always grateful.
Right.
So, yeah.
She said that even on the phone. She would call me and I'd always say, how you doing? And she'd be grateful, you know? And yep. I've never forgotten about that. That's a word to live by, isn't it, Chris?
It really is. It really, truly is. We should all be grateful for even the smallest things. Even in the darkest times, there's something for which we can be grateful. And Bev certainly personified that. Yeah.
Her memory lives on. Why do you get involved with Passages? Why are you volunteering and being the president of the board?
Well, Passages, my wife Heather worked at Passages shortly after we were married. She worked for Family Advocates for a brief amount of time, 6 or 8 months, and then a position opened up at Passages. And so obviously it was a shorter drive from Blue River to Richland Center as opposed to driving all the way to Platteville. And so she was involved in Passages, so I was able to learn firsthand just what a significant place it is and the importance of Passages. So that's always been a special place for me. Our brass quintet played there for a couple of fundraisers during the Christmas season from time to time. The church that I'm involved in, the churches I'm involved with, you know, continue to make monetary donations. And we both Heather and I just feel it's such an important service for the people in need of our community. And when Cindy Rasmussen called and said, hey, we've got an opening on the board, would you be interested? And first of all, I was incredibly humbled that she would ask me. And secondly, it's, yeah, like, where can I sign up? Sure, I want to do what I can to help.
Is this one of the main fundraisers during the year?
For right now, but we are working on, again, COVID messed up a lot of things for a lot of people. We are in the process of planning a large social activity, much like what was done at the campus years ago when they would do their fall thing and have, fun raffles and auctions and a big meal and things like that. So our committee is working on reestablishing that, especially now with the financial needs that are in front of us. But that'll be one of the things to help get us out into the community and help us financially.
For this night, for Bev's Walk on the 22nd, then, will there be some places where people can donate at that time as well?
I am guessing so. If you know, maybe something where you can drop in some pocket change, but certainly there will be business cards there if anyone would like to make, a significant contribution. You know, here's the address to which you can mail things. But yes, certainly.
Indeed. And it's all free, right, Jessica, in terms of entering this and everything?
Yes, the event's all free. We did have a registration link up for T-shirts. It did end yesterday at midnight just because they got to go through the processing of making those T-shirts. But we will have a few this year that will be available to purchase a T-shirt if you would like once you get to the table, probably limited sizes. But the event is free for the community. All donations will go to the Grateful Scholarship that we created in memory of Bev, which helps local high schoolers with a scholarship for college.
Oh, that is awesome. I did not know that you did that. So have you done that the last couple of years then?
So just last year was the first year that we submitted a scholarship, and we was able to give $500 to a student to help with their college goals. So every year we plan on to continue that through the Richland High School to be able to support students that may need the financial need.
The other thing that we want to emphasize is that Passages is not just a women's shelter, is it? You serve men as well.
We do, yep.
That's another common fallacy that I've heard over the years, but you do?
Yep, we do serve men as well. We have actually had more men survivors that we've served in the last few years than typical. So in the community or in shelter, yes, there is a need for all genders to be served.
Well, we're grateful to have you in the area. And I use the word grateful again here. So anything else that either of you'd like to add about Bev's walk?
I want to throw this out. I'm going to put Jessica on the spot here. She will be traveling to Missouri this weekend to speak at the Strong Enough Women's Conference. She was asked to present there, which I think speaks well of her and the work she's doing. Do you want to speak about that for just a little bit? I don't think that's unfair for you to tell the people just what you're doing.
Right. Please do.
Okay, so I went to this conference 2 years back, and so it's a conference of empowering women and supporting them through their own goals of what they've survived and different things like that. So I was asked to speak this year, so I speak on Sunday. I get 30 minutes on the stage, and I get to tell who I am and my life story and what I've overcome. So there'll be 200-plus women there, so it's going to be good.
And you were nervous about coming on the morning show. You're going to be facing 200 people on
it's
Sunday.
Okay. You made it easy, though. Thank you.
You've done a great job. Anything you'd like to shed a light on in terms of your speech or your story?
Actually, I will kind of share a little piece. I actually came through Passages 8 years ago myself, and now I'm on the other side of the table, and I'm able to support people in the community the way